Welcome to the show, Mr. Briscoe. How are you on this lovely Monday?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me. Chiefs win, Royals win. Talk to you guys next week.
All right, take care. That's all we need, man. That is all we need. How are you consuming tonight? I know you got all the SI stuff you got to get taken care of, but I mean, come on now. How are you watching the games?
Yeah, I'm still figuring out exactly how I'm going to do that. The Chiefs are going to have to get the full big screen, unless, I guess, if YouTube TV wants to give us the multi-view, like a Kansas City multi-view, I may try to make that happen. But I got to go Chiefs big screen, playoff baseball little screen.
Really?
I wouldn't begrudge anybody who's not in my exact situation to flip that. Mm-hmm. But I got to be able to talk to you guys about what the Chiefs are doing. I just learned about this Bobby Witt fella like 3 weeks ago.
So, God. But playoff baseball is so intense, and you're on the edge of your seat for every single pitch. And I think we all had that same mindset the first hour. We're all going to be dialed into the Royals. Then when the Chiefs kick off, people may switch the sound. I don't know if I'm going to be in that switching the sound mode. As of right now, my plan is to switch the sound when the Chiefs kick off. But if that's a compelling baseball game, which I think it's going to be, I'm going to have a hard time weaning myself off of that sound.
No, I think that's okay, too. I mean, yeah, listen, I have my own Monday Night Football announcing booth thoughts that goes back years now. And not to Joe Buck, frankly. I enjoy his work. But the level of playoff baseball, I would say, first of all, our heart health should be well tested by how the Chiefs have been playing their football games over the last couple of years. You know your blood pressure is going to be an issue, going to be a high heart rate night either way. So I think, you know, just plan to ride that wave, and then if the claws of playoff baseball get sunk into you as Monday Night Football's beginning, I think just stick with that. And, regardless of how this goes, we have less Royals left on the calendar than we do Chiefs games here. I think go ahead and wear your red and blue today. Start with baseball. I just got to make sure that I know, you know, if Xavier Worthy runs the wrong route, I gotta know about it, guys. I can't enjoy the pass block like that.
Right, you can't. So you don't like Troy Aikman, huh?
Yeah, so there was a thing several years ago where I may have mentioned that Patrick Mahomes had, like, I don't know what it was at the time, 40% of his passing yards in like 10% of the games.
Right.
And that was a podcast clip that went around. And then Troy Aikman came around and said, hey, well, why don't you call me when he has 33% of my Super Bowl ring?
Right.
I did the next couple months later, I think, at that point. Mm-hmm. And he never picked up. I haven't had a chance to talk to my dear friend Troy, but now he's at 100% of his Super Bowl ring. Mm-hmm. And I think, I'll tell you this, I don't think it's entirely my fault, but I think you can tell every once in a while on the call that Troy Aikman is not thrilled to be calling a game of a quarterback clearly better than he was, especially now that he does have these three rings.
Did you ever in your life think that you would live rent-free in an NFL former quarterback's head?
No, this was far more shocking to me than it could have been to anyone else in the planet. If it was anybody, I would have assumed Aikman, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, though, because Troy Aikman is heralded as a great quarterback, and you look at his stats, you're like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
That was part of it at the time, was like, wow, look at how incredible Patrick Mahomes is starting his career, his statistical output against a Pro Football Hall of Famer. And then it did sort of start that entire cycle of, like, well, these numbers really aren't that impressive. Oh, well, those teams, boy, he sure did have a lot of weapons. Huh, maybe we should talk about this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the following years have brought many Troy Aikman-related jokes to my life.
No, and I think, too, as we move on from this, though, but the Troy Aikman gets worse as a quarterback as Patrick Mahomes' years go on. I mean, we could just kind of leave it at that.
That's
but like tonight, it's going to be interesting. What do you think they're going to do from an offensive standpoint? Because we all probably think they're going to try to, you know, run the ball with Rashee Rice and all that kind of stuff. You know they're airing it out on, like, the first play to Xavier Worthy.
I would love that. And for whatever the Chiefs are willing to do for Worthy right now, the first 15 is the time to do it, right? Like, go ahead and do the air stress test early on. See if you can get one of those big early shots to Worthy. Because I really do think, for both of these teams, frankly, being ahead in the game is a clear advantage. And that's usually true, right? But in this case, I think even more so. Because as the game goes on, Worthy led receivers in snaps taken last week. So this isn't like they're not willing to put him on the field. I'm not saying that he can't be trusted or that they don't like having him involved in the offense. But in terms of doing the every down receiver stuff that, no joke, they trust Justin Watson to do, to always be in the right spot and all
Watson,
those things.
Yes!
I would be a little bit surprised if we see Xavier Worthy getting 8 catches in this game. But a deep shot early on and then just leaning on Kareem Hunt like it's 2018, I think is a really good strategy for trying to get this game in control with minimal weirdness at this point. Of course, minimal weirdness is never the Chiefs' MO.
When you look at this game tonight, who's kind of the focus point for Josh Briscoe in this game? I know you just mentioned Xavier Worthy, but I kind of think this is one of those sneaky 1-2 games a year where you see Juju kind of give you a flash.
Yeah, offensively, I think it's Kareem Hunt getting a shocking amount of touches for a guy in his second game with the Chiefs. I think he's shown that he has earned that trust through one. And then I think Juju is the guy that I'm betting on as the greatest overall stock increase in Rashee Rice's absence. I think I said this with Cody and Gold on Friday. I can't remember. You know, we talk so much now, friends.
But
the Rashee Rice upgrade over Juju was to give him some extra yak ability in that role, and Rashee Rice brings that, the burst, the athleticism. Juju can still do some of the things like being where Patrick Mahomes wants him to be and being a guy who helps move the chains and just keeps things a little bit looser here offensively. So I do like a Juju game here. On the other side of the ball, my like guy to watch in the entire game, the only guy who I think has as much impact on this game as anyone not named Patrick Mahomes, is Chris Jones. I know that is not a sneaky MVP, but Derek Carr, much like almost every quarterback, but especially Derek Carr, when he gets quick internal pressure, he becomes a different quarterback. If you give him time to survey and deliver, he can still sling it. I know his years in Oakland and Vegas has made us question how good of a quarterback he was, but we've seen the burst of this offense, especially through those first 2 weeks before they got tape of everybody from around the NFL. If Chris Jones is pressuring Derek Carr, if he's uncomfortable, the Chiefs defense, I think, is going to be the thing that wins this game.
Do you think this is the night where Derek Carr just says, I'm never playing an Arrowhead again. Thank you very much. Any other game scheduled here, I will be forfeiting.
I think he should do. I mean, isn't that what Aaron Rodgers did for the first couple of rounds in the State Farm Bowl? Like, I feel like dodging Patrick Mahomes, there are worse strategies.
Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers said COVID was fake, and then he got it and couldn't play against the Chiefs. I don't know. I'm just
exactly. Somebody's lying here, guys.
Before we let you go, we have a segment at the end of the show. Is there an album off the top of your head that you have zero skips on?
Oh boy. Childish Gambino's Because the Internet came out at a very formative time for me, and so I have probably gone front to back on that more than anything else.
All right, we'd love to see. What's your outfit today also, by the way? You going Chiefs shirt, Royals hat, or are you going something completely going like Dan Flashes? What are you doing today?
I do love a Dan Flashes. You know I do every radio interview in the nude, so
you
after
shut up,
this,
Doug!
I'm going to go red over blue today, I think.
Love it. All right, JB, we'll talk to you next week.
See ya, fellas.
See ya.